Welcome to the Barefooted Legal Radio Show this week. Hope everyone's doing well. This week had quite a few interesting experiences going barefoot. One of the things I've found is in my everyday, just routines, you know, of maybe going out for lunch or dinner or breakfast or shopping or just around the house, my feet stay in a certain condition, which is pretty good. But if I push it a little bit, so if I do a little bit of hiking, or if I'm working on something a little more rigorous where I'm up and about, they really toughen up quickly, and it's a better feeling to me. It's interesting, because you would think that if I'm, barefoot 98% of the time, that would suffice. But pushing yourself just a little bit seems to definitely make a difference. So I highly encourage people to do that, to go out there and just try to push themselves a little, a little extra bit. It truly seems to, this week also, since I'm just kind of working on some projects around the house, and I've been going to a lot of, like, home stores and doing some car work, so going to automotive stores. I wear my flip-tops, which is a barefoot sandal, and I'm amazed how well it works. I mean, a week or so ago, I decided to just not wear them for a little bit, and I noticed I was getting stares, and I thought, well, maybe I'm just being a little over sensitive about it, really paying attention. But I really noticed that, I was getting a different look. A few times I really thought I was going to get approached, to be honest. So then I went back to wearing them, and they literally only cover the top. It's just two little straps. And I've been to way more places in the last week or so with them on, including many, many direct interactions in stores. I mean, walking around with people, showing me things. And it's like they're completely oblivious to it. And I don't want somebody to feel like they're hiding something. To me, what I found is, for whatever reason, that the social acceptance currently is not for barefooting, it immediately puts someone on a defensive. But if you wear a barefoot sandal, to me it's like meeting halfway. They don't seem to get their guard up. And I've also noticed once they get to know you, they're fine with it. It's the places that I have gone, including many, many restaurants that I frequent, seems to be about 6 months. I don't know why that's the number. But after time, if they realize that they're not, there's no bottom on them, it's more of a curiosity thing. In fact, I've sent a lot of information to different stores and restaurants, the people working there, and they were just curious, telling them about all of the different things, the health benefits, the myths that are out there, and it just brings up a different experience. And it still never ceases to amaze me. To me, if for anything else, just for the social experiment, it's fun. It's worth it to try it. It definitely works better with longer pants. If they see the heel, it seems like that's what it works a little better with longer pants. As we approach, I'm sure some people are already deep into it, the cooler weather, it may give you the opportunity where in the summer you may not have wanted to try the longer pants, but the longer pants with a barefoot sandal seems to really make a difference. The thing I also noticed, speaking of winter and fall and winter time here, just coming around the corner, not already there. The last couple of years, I've been going year-round barefoot. Before that, in the winter time, I would pretty much wear shoes when it was cooler out. And the thing I've noticed more than anything really, really surprised me was I don't feel cold anymore. I literally, not saying I've lost my sense of feeling or anything, but I've noticed people shivering around me, and I'm comfortable. And I've attributed it to a few different things. The first of which is with all the nerve endings in your feet, your feet actually act kind of like the thermostats for your body. So think about that for a second. A thermostat is going to measure the temperature in a room or an area, and then, you know, turn on the air or heat to adjust. Well, if it's cold out and you have your shoes in heavy socks and boots or regular shoes or whatever it may be, your body is giving a signal that it's warm. And I think it kind of opens the pores up. That's kind of that stinging feeling you get, which I don't seem to get anymore. Even though you don't really feel yourself sweating, I think the pores are opening, and it's because you're getting false signals. Again, this is only me hypothetically thinking about it. It's not based on anything specific, just my experiences. So the one, I think, is the thermostat. The other is, as many articles have proven, you increase your circulatory system by walking barefoot. So that definitely plays into it heavily. Then there's a few other things. If it's humid and cold out, feet are going to have that wetness against them, you know, all the time. That adds to that cold feeling. Even without that, just having a shoe on, that it's going to retain some of the cold for a while. One of the things I've noticed is if I go from the outside into a store, it immediately feels good. I immediately feel comfortable because typically the stores are at a comfortable temperature and the floors have been at that temperature the entire time. So when I have that connection, it definitely seems to make a difference. The same is true of just being outside. Even if it's cold out, if the sun is shining and you measure the temperature right on the ground, you know, where the sun has been beating on and radiating all day long, it retains the heat. So you're actually, it's kind of like walking on heated floors a lot of times. That's also amazed me, where it can be rather cold out, but if you're in a sunny area, like I am here in North Florida, you know, the sun is still beating down all day on that surface. Even if it's, many, many times I've had a fairly heavy jacket on, you know, some jeans and bare feet. And I'm sure to most people that haven't experienced that would seem a little odd, but once you do, it's really quite a sensation to have that. Like I said, it's like heated floors, and you're walking around. So either way, another thing I've noticed is if it's cold out and you have shoes on, you know, they're going to stay cold for quite a while. Back to what I said about adjusting almost immediately when you don't have shoes on, you walk in and it's comfortable. They're going to adjust immediately. So that's another thing I would definitely add to definitely give a try. I'm sure, like anything else, you want to slowly build up to it, but it has to get, which it actually doesn't here, but it would have to get extremely cold for me to even think about putting shoes on in the winter. Of course, I also recommend that if it's a dangerous temperature, you know, your body does need protections at certain temperatures, so don't overdo it if you're in a very cold area. I often see pictures of people, you know, in Canada and, you know, the northern states and Alaska walking around barefoot in snow or something, and I don't think I'm quite ready for that yet. That one's a little beyond me, but maybe if I had that experience, I'd feel differently. But as of right now, I go back to, you know, it has to be pretty. I actually haven't found where it's been too cold. One of the things, that to me, it was quite a revelation. There was a day I remember that it was pretty cold out. And at the time I was coming straight from work, so I had some work shoes on. And normally it's just, for me, I have to get changed before going out. If I'm wearing, you know, work type clothes, whatever it may be, I have to changed into something more comfortable, you know, where I am barefoot. It's almost necessary. But this one time I thought, well, it's freezing cold. I'm just going to go straight to this restaurant from work. And I was miserable. My body felt so hot. And again, people were freezing. They were shivering. And we were sitting right by the door practically. But because I've adjusted so well to it, that extra, you know, layers on top, definitely didn't do me any favors. So that was a... I, at the time, I was also a little concerned because I figured, well, people, even if you're wearing flip-flops and it's that cold out, you might get more of a, you know, a sideways glance from people. But I've gotten past that. I have the flip-tops on, and I don't even worry about it. And there are quite a few people that do wear flip-flops, at least here in Florida, even when it's cooler out. So that has definitely been a revelation more than just about anything. My original reason, main reason, over 20 years ago to start to go barefoot was plantar fasciitis. And, you know, after reading everything that was out there about it, I found just at the time a very small amount of articles that discussed just going barefoot. But the logic made sense to me. When you think about comparing your foot to a shock absorber and coming down on the floor versus landing directly on your heel, which is straight shock, you know, it's going up your body, there's no cushion at all. It's a misnomer that shoes are actually going to be cushioning the foot. The foot's designed as a shock absorber. You don't stick a pillow under a shock absorber. It's not something how it's designed. You know, that would be like locking the shock up and then trying to stop the shock with just putting, you know, a piece of rubber or something under it. Just doesn't make sense. But anyways, I digressed that only because quite a revelation as well, because it took about a month and a half. But then the pain was completely gone. Hold on, I believe we have somebody on hold. Hi, this is John. Who's calling?
Hey, I'm a first-time caller.
Is this proof?
Yeah.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I just didn't want to see you there by your lonesome, so I figured I would jump in for at least a few minutes.
All right. Just discussing the different experiences, and, you know, as we approach winter, going barefoot, and how
Well, I had a different thought. If you don't mind, I was going to change the topic, but if you want to finish
sure.
with yours real quick, that's fine. But
no, that's fine. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say about with it being Halloween, and I just think it's funny that with the average cubicle farm, that they want you to dress in costume, but they will tell you that dress code shoes are still required. So for example, you could wear whatever, but if your company still bans open-toed shoes, they won't allow you on Halloween either.
Yeah, that's still quite ingrained in the culture. The one good thing, though, on Halloween is you do have a lot of leeway usually in other areas. Volunteering for a nonprofit, we have different functions around this time. And
mm-hmm.
I, at least for the last 5 years, maybe even longer, every single year I've had a costume where I was barefoot and
yeah.
have never had a problem. And, one of them is right inside of a store that we do our pet rescue out of, and don't even get the slightest problem with it. The only comment I got on my feet ever, really, on Halloween, was from the store manager at the pet store, and I was dressed kind of like a Grim Reaper type of character,
mm-hmm.
and I had a little bit of paint on my feet to look like skeletons, and she looked at my feet and she said, "The feet really make the costume."
Oh, okay.
She complimented me on how it really fit in. So I felt a lot more comfortable, of course, at that point. But that was really the only comment I've received on it. It's definitely a time where, in public, you have a little more leeway. Get out there, and it's kind of fun.
Yeah, you can dress as a hippie all you want, even though you're supposed to wear a suit and tie. You can wear whatever T-shirt, ripped jeans, that's fine, but you still can't wear Birkenstocks.
Right, in a business setting, yeah. And it is kind of crazy. But, hopefully that'll change over time. Been reading quite a few articles recently that I've seen that more and more people are going barefoot on campuses, on college campuses.
Mm-hmm.
And, I've read this before, but it seems to be picking up some. So the other trend I've noticed is I used to see tweets all the time that said something to the effect of, I wish I could go barefoot, but it's not socially acceptable. I saw it probably about 6 months ago. You could type something like that in and get tons of tweets. Now it's changed some. I'm starting to see tweets that say, why is it not socially acceptable to go barefoot? Because they're saying they'd go barefoot all the time. Why is it not? Versus, I would go, but it's not. Now the questioning's coming up. And again, this is not based on any science. This is really just, I like to try to look for trends. And I've definitely noticed that trend.
Well, it's up to us, though, to make more people aware of what we do.
That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, we've discussed my theories before, and I don't want to keep bringing up the recent past, but I just think the change with the SBL group is a huge negative for not just for what happened with a few women, but I just think as a whole it pretty much neuters the whole activism movement on their end.
Yeah, it is quite a shame. I honestly think we're just going to have to, and we will, get past it in other groups, and they're just going to eventually fall by the wayside or just always be out there for...
Yeah, the only reason why they have not fallen by the wayside is that there has not been a strong group to take over, which I am going to say that my plans are to change that. I think we can.
I was actually getting rather excited in this year with all the new members that you've brought on. I was seeing a positive direction. Even if I don't care about the leadership decisions for this point, even regardless of what anyone would have thought of that, there was new blood, new people that were contributing.
Right. To me, that was the most important thing. I mean, if somebody said, hey, I think I can help with the leadership role, hey, go for it. I would have let them in with no issue.
Right.
My main thing will always be recruiting, because if you're not recruiting, you're not finding new blood and you're not getting more people excited about it and you're not getting the word out. What good is it to talk to the same 800 people or however many it is every day? Hey, I went to the store and I got yelled at.
Exactly. And it won't be that safe 800, because after a few times of hearing it, a lot of them aren't going to even bother going. People like to go back to find something new.
Right.
That's one of the reasons I enjoy doing research, going out there and looking for trends and changes or something that's coming up. And if you find the same thing all the time, you know, that's not any good.
Well, that was kind of my thought.
Yeah. Well, we just pick up and go from here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm not mad. I'm over it. So now my job is to recruit for another group. That's all.
Right, right.
But my goal in now has changed to I have to create a first step section, because getting people to go from never hearing about us to being an activist is going to be harder. So
right.
I have to create a first steps approach, which is fine.
Yeah, definitely.
So I guess you've noticed too at your various jobs working in the corporate world with the Halloween costumes and everything that the dress code for shoes still is in full effect.
I do remember that, but it actually got to the point where they were getting so restrictive, people weren't even bothering anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously masks and even face painting and all that, because of the concerns, you know, that we've gotten so on edge in certain areas.
Yeah, you don't want to offend anyone by putting on a... it's funny. You could wear devil horns. You can wear the Grim Reaper, but if you dressed, say, as a priest, you would get in trouble for that.
Yeah
it's funny
it's
how
really
that works.
Point. Oh yeah, yeah. If you stand back and objectively look at, you know, what we do in society, it's really quite entertaining. I mean, sad at times, but just amazing. Where we've gotten to. I mean, some of the things, changes can be good, but sometimes it's just taken way too far. Yeah.
So so we're going to have our slow season here coming up, obviously, with the Barefoot is Legal, among other groups. So I guess what my thoughts are here are, we can get some organization together during the winter time, and in the spring really hit it hard.
Yeah, that makes sense. That would be a good thing. That's one of the things, I don't know if you were on or listening earlier, I was discussing the winter.
No, I just got home from the bank. It's really strange, but the last Friday of October happens to be Nevada Day, which October 31st, Nevada was entered into the United States, so they celebrate that day. It's a state holiday, and the banks and stuff are off, so I had to run to the bank this morning.
Wow, I never heard of that one, but of course, not being in Arizona, I probably wouldn't.
Nevada.
Right on. Yeah, I'm sorry, Nevada, even on Halloween.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I was mentioning earlier.
It's kind of weird that way.
Yeah, I could see where that would be kind of an oddball thing to celebrate on Halloween. But as I also mentioned earlier, you know, as we approach the cooler months and some people are already, you know, well into them, you know, the experiences with going year-round barefoot where I don't feel as cold anymore. I think there's a few different reasons. One, of course, is an obvious increase in circulation. I also think your feet have a lot to do with the regulation of your body temperature with all the nerve endings being down there. It's kind of like your own personal thermostat.
Yeah, it's kind of weird how 82 degrees, the average person is too hot, but 75, they're too cold.
Yeah, that is kind of an odd one.
But but part of that is that people aren't adapting themselves to the temperature. So as you're walking, obviously you have your coffins on, as a few people like to call them. You're not adapting yourself to the climate, so it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, and once you have adapted to it, I used to be very cold nature. I'd freeze at room temperature. You know, it started to get cold, I'd shiver and everything else. And when the revelation first came about, the first time it really just, you know, put two and two together is my wife and I were down in St. Augustine, and it was one of those days where the daytime temperature is comfortable and then it quickly plummets. And we had light jackets with us because we knew it was going to get cold, but it got colder than normal all of a sudden. And I didn't even realize it until I noticed everybody was shivering. My wife was shivering, the people around us were, and I had a light jacket on, barefoot, of course, and was very comfortable. And I know I was the type that would normally shiver as soon as it was cold. And I was amazed that I was so comfortable. At first I thought, well, part of it is, you know, when you're even in the winter, in a southern state especially, you know, the sun is still radiating the ground. It's still, especially, you know, concrete and asphalt.
Mm-hmm.
It's you know, acting as a storage, you know, a heat storage device.
For the people out there, having a cold winter day in Florida is not the same as having a sunny winter day in Michigan by any stretch of the imagination.
No, definitely not. But there are still, as you
know, those of you out there that have 2.5 feet of snow and it's -8 out, you don't have to feel like you're Conan the Barbarian and go outside. I mean, it's okay.
Yeah, and I made that point as well, you know, that, you know, you have to, you know, based on where you're at, and you don't want to do anything that's dangerous to your body. I see we're at the top of the hour, so I guess we should do a few vacation.
Would you like me to hang out, or do you need me to go?
I'm fine either way. I mean, if you have the time, that would be great. But
okay, I'll hang out for a little bit. That's cool.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and play a few ads, and we'll be back.
All right.
Does the media ever deceive the public?
A white plane, a very big jet, was flying in an unusual pattern near the White House over Lafayette Park. Very slowly, it made one circle and then...
Are the media and their sources trustworthy?
New York State and New Jersey will get their first doses of the swine flu vaccine.
The H1N1 virus has made thousands of people across the country sick. Many have died. And some worry that it could grow into a full-blown pandemic.
Where does our mainstream media get their news? All this enjoyment is brought to you by all the things sweetened with NutraSweet.
There's a reason why we want to own these guns.
We're going to have to come together and take meaningful action.
to prevent more tragedies like this.
That was President Obama Friday suggesting it is now time to reopen the national debate on gun control.
The media tends to march in lockstep with the government.
Who is responsible when the media fabricates the news?
When the public is constantly fed messages that are potentially leading us into a war that may not be necessary, it's not fair to the American people, and it's not fair to journalism, because the truth isn't being told here. We found out that CNN International is actually making money from the Bahrain regime. They are a customer of Bahrain. Bahrain is paying CNN International to create content that shows Bahrain in a favorable light, to then air that content on CNN International.
Join us online at williamlewisfilms.com. That's williamlewisfilms.com.
Welcome back to the Barefoot is Legal radio show. We are fortunate to have Proof with us today. Proof, are you still there?
I think so.
You think so? Well, that's good.
Yeah, I'm hoping I am.
Yeah. That's good. Have you had any unique experiences barefoot this week or recently?
Nothing that I wish I could report on, just normal stuff, just going to the gas station and going to a fast food spot. I don't get to venture out and find new places, fortunately, not because I don't want to. I just, when you work two jobs during the week, makes it hard.
Yeah, that definitely does. I had quite a few experiences this week. For our rescue group, we have one of these extended vans. And when I was younger, I used to do paint and body and still can do it as a hobby. So I've been fixing it up for the group. I've been going through and fixing it up. So I've been going to different stores, paint stores and the like, and just different things I've needed to get, even regular home stores, whatever it may be, more than normal. And also, I work barefoot on it as well, unless I'm, the only time I don't really in the garage is if I'm welding or grinding, for obvious reasons there. And if I'm painting, I usually have shoes on, unless it's a really small job. Only because
see, when I and maybe I'm just thinking of being in a house. For me, I prefer not to have shoes on because I know if I stepped in paint.
Well, I prefer not to have shoes on too. Either way, the only challenge is when I'm painting a car, especially with like a urethane. It's like the entire floor gets covered in like a tacky glue. Is what it feels
See,
like.
See, I'm just thinking in terms of inside the house, I guess. I'm not thinking in terms of what it takes to paint a car.
Right, right. And I've painted many of them barefoot. But if I'm doing a large project, that's typically about the only time I will. But up in, it's really only up until the it's just like any other tool, like putting on the mask or anything else. It's only putting them on while I'm spraying. It's not like... you know, I find it very comfortable to work on it, to do everything else without them. And even with painting, if it's a small job, I usually don't even put them on for that. But if you're clearing an entire vehicle or something, especially something as big as an extended van, the floor can tend to get sticky. And I have good ventilation. I literally have what in the automotive world, what's known as a semi-downdraft booth set up in my workshop, where it's literally a professional spray booth. I built it, but I followed all of the specifications, and it pressurizes the room. So the old way that they used to paint, not to get off subject, but...
Oh, was, that's fine.
To draw... air through, so you'd have a fan sucking everything out of a room.
All right.
The newer methods are to put positive air pressure in the room, so you're filling the room up with air and then pushing it out through vents. And it when you have that positive air, it's kind of like almost glues everything to the surface. It's kind of like any dirt in the air, anything else gets pushed, you know, out to the and stays away from everything. So it works really well. But, you know, back to what I was saying with the, you know, on a big vehicle like this extended van or something, while I'm painting it, I'll have shoes on. But the entire time I was working on it, including I had a bunch of work to do on the roof of this huge thing, going up and down ladders constantly, I was barefoot the entire time otherwise.
Hey, just to keep us off topic here, I have a 2015 Hyundai Elantra, and I've been toying with the idea once I get the coin saved up for it. My car is white, and I'm looking for a color that's cool but not all that often found. I was thinking like maybe like a pewter or maybe a brown. Just something different, because out here, at least, I see Hyundai Elantras all over the place, and it's funny that there's like four or five people at my job that have the same car, and we're literally parking in the same spots. You could see five or six Hyundais, Elantras, like parked right in a row. It almost looks like a Hyundai dealership.
Too funny. I've got a lot of two-tones on later model vehicles. Here in Florida, and I'm sure you get the same thing out there, with the sun baking down on the top surfaces of cars, sometimes it'll burn the clear right off of them. So instead of painting a whole car, I usually find, you know, a body line in the middle somewhere and find an accent color that goes with it. And some of those look pretty good. I don't know with white, though, what you'd really use. Or how that would look with like copper.
Well, one thing you don't want is dark black out here. I mean, people get them in Mercedes and BMWs, but when it's 110 out, I don't care if it's a dry heat or a humid heat, it's still 110.
Yeah, and a dark color is going to absorb all that heat versus a light color is going to reflect it. Even on this van I'm doing, they wanted to do it in a darker color, and I pretty much convinced them to at least leave the roof white. Because they were wanting to go with like a dark blue. I said, you're just going to, even with the air conditioning, you're just going to melt in this thing. And we're transporting animals too, so we, you know, it has to be a comfortable temperature as much as possible.
Well, for me, I don't want something dark because if I'm not going for a grounding walk at lunch, I'm usually taking a nap in the car, so I don't want anything too dark that's going to be hard to take a nap in. It's hard enough when it's 112 and they grab 30 minutes of shut-eye. Because in the summer out here, I try not to go for walks too much when it's over 105 out.
Oh, I can see that. Yeah, we do happen to have one of our everyday cars is a dark color, which I wish it wasn't. I can say the newer cars aren't quite as bad as the old ones. They've insulated them quite a bit more on the roof surfaces. But it's still a challenge. I'm not saying it's not. But I'm actually surprised our Dodge Magnum's like a dark blue color. But
okay.
One of the things that I did was have it window tinted in the darkest tint I could put on it. And that helps keep it cool as well.
Okay. Yeah, if only there was some kind of tint for that first two steps of getting out of the car for the pavement.
Yeah. I've adjusted rather well, I've got to be honest about it, but we may not get quite the same intensity of heat that you do, but it can still get rather warm. I'm quickly looking for the white lines, you know, when I'm getting out sometimes.
Out here, it just doesn't matter.
Yeah.
If you're in Vegas, Phoenix, Tucson, it doesn't matter.
I kind of noticed that when I was out there. I don't know if the difference in humidity or what it would be, but the ground definitely seems hotter. I have to admit that. Even here in Florida, you would think it would be, and it can be, don't get me wrong, it can get very hot, but I've surprisingly adapted fairly well to it. Part of our nonprofit, we did a car show in the parking lot of the pet store, and it's a blacktop, you know, parking lot, and
mm-hmm.
I spent the entire day on it, and every once in a while, not often, but every once in a while, I'd have to, get off of it and walk into a store or something and come back. And I was surprisingly rejuvenated. I was able to get right back on it and not be uncomfortable. It wasn't searing hot, but it was pretty hot, I was surprised. I did adapt fairly well to it.
See, 90 degrees, 92, 95, it doesn't make that much of a difference, but when you get closer to those triple digits and over, you could still do the getting out of the car and walking three steps and onto the sidewalk to go into Subway or something. But other than that, it makes for really difficult.
Yeah, I've often thought if we ever get to a point where it is, very socially acceptable to go barefoot in public, which hopefully we'll get it there, you'd probably have, white sidewalk areas practically in a parking lot, just painted white or something. Your surfaces would definitely improve. I noticed that, in quite a few shots I've seen of New Zealand and Australia, especially in areas where people go barefoot a lot. I thought I was looking at an indoor mall once, but their outdoor was practically, it looked like a tile. I don't know what it was. But since they're going barefoot so much more, it seems like they're, had nicer surfaces.
Yeah. Speaking of
which
my wife flies out Wednesday for a month out in Sydney, Australia.
Wow. Has she ever been there?
No, her mom lives there, though.
Oh, wow. That should be interesting.
Yeah, I've never been, but her mom bought her one plane ticket, so it's not like I can argue.
Yeah, no, definitely
not. I can't say where's mine.
I would love to go sometime, I'll be honest. Read a lot on it, seen a lot. Yeah, I've read mixed, but overall it definitely seems to be way more acceptable to go barefoot there, just about anywhere. I have seen the exceptions, especially more in the city areas, but there are many places where it's perfectly fine.
Yeah. Yeah, New Zealand more so than Australia, but Australia more so than anywhere in the United States.
Right, right. Definitely New Zealand. And there's a couple areas down there that, especially in the coastal areas where it's just normal. I'm trying to remember, is Byron Bay, is that New Zealand or Australia? I get those mixed up. But,
I don't know.
I think it's New Zealand. But anyways, it's so prevalent that, if they show, pictures of people shopping or at restaurants, or I was watching one where there's a graduation, and a lot of times people will go barefoot, it's sometimes at a graduation, but this is kind of like a informal type of graduation in a classroom type thing.
Uh-huh.
And at least better than half the students were barefoot. Adult students, whatever this was, it was more like a college almost. But at least more than half. And you could tell it was just completely normal and comfortable. It wasn't something they were just, doing that day either. We'll get there. It has to change.
Well, the thing is, though, is that it's not going to change for us just by sitting around and talking. We actually have to do stuff. We have to show the public that it's acceptable and legal and fun. We can't, there's people in that SBL group that think the reason why stores are shunning us is because I'm leading it and I'm being too active, which I've never even been to 98% of the cities in the United States. They have no clue who I am. Why would I be the main instigator?
Yeah, I think for some people, at least, I think it's a natural reaction to worry about. If you push too hard, they're going to push back. But I'm actually finding the opposite, and it's kind of something
I'm finding that if there's people that believe in not pushing at all.
Oh, definitely. But I've also found that by pushing the envelope a little bit, as I think I've mentioned before, with the barefoot sandals I have, or it could be any type, but when people finally figure it out, after I've been to a place quite a few times usually, it's more of a curiosity question at that time. And I've sent many links to people, and they've been interested, when I've shown them things and sent them links. I've had quite a few places. There's one waitress. Well, actually, I've got quite a few, a couple different people that, other than work, has given up shoes altogether. And two store owners that pretty much have as well. And I can almost guarantee that, if you don't push the envelope a little, they're not going to get that information. They have to have it and understand. There's just too much positive information by credible sources right now that it just needs to be disseminated. It has to get in.
Well, let me just mention that particular group of people that I used to be the leader of, the goal is to be as inactive as possible, and you just do it, and if you get kicked out, you get kicked out, and that's it. You don't do anything, period, to discuss or educate anymore. And if they're interested, they'll find the website for themselves. Which
yeah,
I think
I
is
really,
the most backwards way of thinking in the history of the world.
I don't really get that either. And I'll be honest, sometimes I forget as far as time, but I think it's almost 20 years ago. Do you know when DSS, how many years ago that was?
Yeah, I think it was 1995, if I'm not mistaken.
So, yeah, about 20 years ago. I remember when I was, first getting online and learning about things, and I found that, and I was really excited about it. And what amazed me is nothing ever changed. You could go back to that page a month later, it looked exactly the same. The membership stayed stagnant. If you went back a year later, it's the same.
Activism they did stopped in 2001 or maybe 2002. After that, it's been almost nothing.
Yeah. I mean, there was little spurts of it. And it's kind of ironic when it was, changed over to the Society for Barefoot Living. That's just about the time they were doing a little bit with the Barefoot is Okay campaign they were pushing. But
I think that was the last thing they ever tried.
Yeah, and that was years and years ago. It's crazy. But what really surprises me is, I know I was hungry for information at the time, and I know there's a lot of other people that are out there that are, and at least now there's some more information out there. But as far as a group goes, that's pretty much, an organized working towards a barefoot society. Let's say you just don't find it.
Which is sad, because when I did my speeches this summer and getting people involved, it's to me, it's like fish in a barrel to bring people in. I'm extremely good at it, which is against the rules nowadays, I guess.
Well, no, I'm glad you're good at it. That's not one of my strengths, but
we all have our own strengths.
Yeah, but from the research I've done, I'm finding more and more people are going barefoot in their homes than they used to. A lot of people working from home are barefoot. I've seen more and more people, if you type in driving barefoot or type in favorite thing barefoot, you'll get tons and tons of people that just say how much they love to drive barefoot. Occasionally you'll see one that said they would if it wasn't illegal, because they're confused. But usually someone does, point it out.
Yeah,
to them
just
that
think
it is.
That group has been around for 20 years, and you still have 98% of Americans that probably think it's against the law to drive a car.
Yeah. I don't know if you ever got a chance to look at the videos I sent you about a week or so, but one of them was right from a news station showing that it is legal in all 50 states.
Still have those links. I don't know if I do or not in there, because all I did was look at it after you sent it to me. If you can throw those into the BIL group and send it to, or put Joel's name on there so he can put it on our website.
Yeah, I would love to. One of the things, and I talk about it, I just need to figure out how to get it organized. Sometimes it's just getting past the simplest step with me, but I think we need to have a video library, that has links in it, and a comprehensive one. There's lists, there's links all over the place, when you go into the barefoot groups and everything, but it's disjointed. There's not one that's really organized and, maybe broken down into categories, such as health benefits, such as laws, so forth. There's just a tremendous amount of information that I find all the time out there. And some of it I'm amazed I uncover. It just takes the right couple keywords to find it.
Here's where I empower you to be the leader, I guess, of trying to compile videos, and I could let Joel know that we should have a video library, and we just need to feed it.
I'm glad to compile it, as long as I figure out how to do the technical part as far as getting him the links or whatever. And I mean, that's pretty basic. I should be able to do that.
Hey, so, just simply creating a Word document and just dropping all
there,
the links there. Or, hey, even Notepad and just cutting and pasting. It's just a matter of getting a laundry list of various links and putting them on our BIL group plus, telling Joel to add these links in, and it's just a matter of instant messages and things like that where you can tell him, look, I want to get you all these links by Thursday, and if you need help, just give me a call or whatever.
Yeah, I'll have to definitely do that. I'll reach out to him, and even if I start and get just a few of the ones I have now, but I've got a lot of them, actually. I just one of the
well,
hard parts that I have. The hardest
the
part I have is,
obviously, the more we're going to slow people down to looking at what we have and what the health benefits are. And I've said for years, which some people in that group disagreed with me, was that when you go to a store and someone taps you on the shoulder, do you want to tell them you're doing this for health benefits and you believe in a healthy lifestyle, or do you want to tell them I do it because I feel like it, and if you don't like it, then I'll just come back when you're not looking?
Right, and I think it's a combination, of course. You know, you do it because you like how it feels and it's good for you.
Well, yeah, but
so
you don't want to challenge
selling,
management with, well, if you don't
sure.
like it, then tough, I'm going to come back anyway.
No, but to me, if
you don't
you
have
could,
to sound like Billy Badass.
No, not at all. But again, if there was a list of comprehensive links that was organized well,
mm-hmm.
The most people that I have spent time with and explained it to them have definitely increased the amount of time they go barefoot. And I've said some to full time or as close as they can get.
Right.
So, you know, it there are people that are interested in it. And usually when you talk to them, they had all the same myths and
mm-hmm.
thoughts about laws and everything out there and concerns about, you know, germs and everything. You know, sure, there are germs in this world, but you have a much better chance of getting it from your hands than you do from your feet. Your feet
well,
aren't
sneeze guards
wet,
are made
wet
for
wet
a reason.
I'm sorry?
Guards at the buffets are there for a reason.
Oh, yeah. You know, there's definitely places to get it from. I've often thought also, you think about every restaurant you go in practically at the end of the night to clean the floor, puts all the chairs up on the table. Do you think they're wiping the table off in the morning when they take those chairs down?
I would say 99 out of 100 or not.
Yeah, yeah. I'd be a little more concerned with those butts of Ben than my feet. So, you know, that's right on the table you're eating off of. But, you know, people just don't look at it that way. But, again, as you start to educate them, that's where I'm going with this. I agree what you're saying. We have to have the organization. But I think we need to leverage what's available, you know, all of the resources available in a logical, easy-to-follow
way.
Well,
that's kind of my thought. This winter, we need to get serious and compile. I left the group open. I left it kind of lax for a few months just to get everybody acquainted to the thought and to see who would step out and who would do something and who would just fall by the wayside. And now it's time to get serious, and now even more so because this is the only group I have.
Yeah. No, I agree. And like you said, everybody will have their strengths, and it's a matter of leveraging them, seeing what – it's kind of like putting a puzzle together. You know, see what
yeah.
fits best where, you know.
See, I just think my best asset is recruiting and doing public speaking. As far as making the website look cool or doing some kind of report or something like that, I mean, I could write articles, but my big issue is not going to be knowing the current trends of social media, for example.
Right. But I tend to enjoy looking at that, so I've got that. And I'm amazed sometimes what I find. Some of them have been real, you know, eye-openers. Well, we're at the bottom of the hour. I guess it's time for another break here.
All right, I'll let you wrap up. I'll be listening. Thank you for hosting the show, and we have to work on bringing you some guests and possibly a co-host. I was going to ask you one other question before I left, though, and I figure I might as well ask on air here. Any thoughts about changing the show possibly to a noon start time as opposed to 1:30 Eastern?
It would work, I guess, for me. I'm trying to think. Either would, you know.
Well, think about it. Let me know, because Micah said he might have an interest in hanging out with you on a regular basis if it was at noon Eastern or 9 o'clock Pacific. Because he goes to work at 10:30.
Yeah, I mean, definitely I'm flexible in that respect. I definitely want to see the show become more meaningful. And I know
that's kind of the idea here. I need to make sure that all the promotions are going out and people are, like, people think in that group even listening to the radio show is considered activism. And I just don't understand.
Yeah.
Being active within your group is not the same thing as, we're going to all meet in Dallas on the 4th and go march on the state capitol building or whatever.
Yeah, the only way we're, you know, if you get the information out there on the radio show, the activism plays is if they recruit more people to come listen to it. But
I definitely agree. If I was involved in a Scrabble group, I would want people to know that exists.
Yeah. No. It's. As I'm sure you know, it really comes down to the split in ideology this country's come to. It's either extreme right or extreme left.
Right.
And
correct.
Especially in a group like this, people usually are into going barefoot because they believe in their freedoms. They know what it took to get there. They read the logical reasons. And that's one half. And the other half, it's a completely different, you know, it's not based on the logic or any of that. And, you once asked if I was a conservative or, you know, more liberal. And I kind of answered what I thought the other day is what it really is, you know, I have ADHD, which I've learned a lot about over the years. I could go into that forever. But it truly does help when I'm on a certain medication. So I say I'm a conservative when I'm well-regulated and, you know, I'm thinking properly.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm not thinking properly, I tend to be more liberal. So.
Hey, speaking of ADHD, we're going to have to get you hooked up on some rosemary oil at some point here, because
yes,
that supposedly does wonders.
You mentioned that. It's a very interesting thing. It's really, you know, somebody with it, your brain's really just wired differently. If you look back through history, and many of the, you know, greatest inventors or, you know, composers or, you know, people that were involved in a lot of things had it, or you know, by looking at everything. But it's just you look at things a little differently. But staying organized, staying focused, I literally, without exaggeration, because I tried to mathematically figure it out once, will, you know, look at hundreds of thousands, if not more, sites when I'm really trying to research something.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's not normal. You know, and a lot of times I'm finding the same redundant information. But I can usually find the nuances and the differences that most people never find. But with that said, it doesn't work towards getting it to a usable product if you can't focus and organize it. You know, I can find the different things that are, you know, trends. I almost throughout my entire life, trends that have happened, I was usually ahead of the curve knowing that's what was going to happen. And I can almost guarantee you we're going to, in a very short time, regardless of what we do, even though I believe we have to do the activism, see a change in society where more people are going to start going barefoot, from what I've read.
Yeah.
The more I'm seeing it.
Well, that's up to us, I guess, and it's up to the barefoot is legal to be that that opening group and the be-all when it comes to people organizing and sharing for the cause. And I just hope that we can get our members together and and figure out what our plan of attack is going to be.
Oh, definitely. It's up to us to be the catalyst, but the actual substance of it is happening all around us. It is really more and more people are trending in that direction.
Right.
Seeing it's still out there. Don't get me wrong. You can find, you know, a ridiculous amount of posts that talk about the gross, nasty, illegal, blah, blah, blah. But it's becoming less. Or if somebody says it, somebody will rebut with, no, it actually
well,
is.
Well, I don't
no
want to hold
drive,
you too
whatever.
Much from your commercials. At the same time,
yeah,
I just wanted to say that to me, people that are constant flip-flop wearers are fair game to talk to, and there's really not much difference between something that's 3 centimeters thick and not wearing anything. So the more people are wearing flip-flops, the more we can educate and share.
Yeah, with that said, most of the flip-flop wearers that you're finding are wearing them only to go somewhere in public. They're taking
Correct.
Them off to drive. They're taking them off everywhere else. We do pet sitting every once in a while as well. I know we got to run to the commercial break, or maybe we'll just end this a little early after this.
As the owner of Freedomizer, I'm not worried about the commercial break if it's a few minutes late.
Yeah, and like I said, we'll probably just be able to wrap it up or something after that. But
yeah.
we were doing a pet sitting in our rescue room for this, you know, younger girl, mid-20s, whatever, out on her own or whatever. And she always had, like, flip-flops or something on when she came over. When I was outside once, I started getting out of the car, and she was barefoot. She went to put them on. I was like, don't do that. You don't need to do that. And then she was talking about how she loved to go barefoot, but she went somewhere once, and they really yelled at her and everything else, so she became very shy about it. But she's another one that once I showed her some of the benefits and that it was that she, after that, I haven't really seen her with a pair of shoes on since. But,
well, if
you know,
she's on Facebook, you know where to send her.
I do.
Hey, if there are people that you know, it should come second nature. I understand the thoughts about trying to meet someone you've never talked to before and then tell them, because meeting people in public or speaking in public tends to be like Americans' biggest fears.
Well, it's funny. I can actually do that part fairly well, even in public. It's the follow through on making that final connection. You know, I may tell them there's a group, but you know what it is. But I'm not really doing anything that I don't know, like does a handshake to get them over there. You know. I'll definitely tell them the groups exist and the whole bit, but
yeah,
you know, at that point, whether they've went and checked, I don't know. Yeah, you know, I just don't know whether they have or not. And that's kind of why I wanted to come up with maybe one simple link where you could provide to them, and it was the true, you know, repository for the most compelling reasons. I mean, there's a ton of information
well,
out there.
Well, and if
there,
we
but
get all those videos together on the website, then you can just give that link, and then there'll be a big join button for the Facebook group and everything else.
Yeah, that's definitely a way to do it.
But we'll figure that out soon enough here. We have the winter to figure it out, because recruiting is going to be a little slower in the summer. Not that I can't do it, but... I will be trying,
yeah, winter,
but
yeah.
It will be a little more difficult until people get to get out in the spring.
Yeah, and then we have to also think we're really a global. You know, when you're online, it's global, and it's just like your wife's going over to Sydney. What is it going to be, summer over there?
Yeah.
So it may be out of season here, but in a virtual world. It's, you know, it's far from it.
Yeah, there's a lot of people in Argentina also. That's the same concept.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we are coming up, closing in at the top of the hour. I'll put in a few commercial breaks, and then we'll end it for this week. And,
okay, thanks for being here, John.
Sure. definitely want to take it to the next level, and I'm sure we'll get there. It's just getting...
All right. Well, I'll let you wrap up then. Thank you for your time. I'll get off here and let you finish up. Thank you.
All right. Thank you again for joining Proof. And he's absolutely right. You know, getting to that next step is the critical part. Candidly, I admit it's where I have a challenge. I get very frustrated sometimes. I don't want to be doing the things that I complain about when I see it. In other words, when I started going to the website, like I said, originally it was called the Dirty Soul Society, and then when it switched over to the Society for Barefoot Living, I just could not believe that it was never going anywhere. Not that I did anything to change it, but it didn't seem like anyone else was either. So, I mean, at least some pages you'd go to and you'd see new things, even somebody's personal blog more than that. But if you have a actual, you know, quote, society, you have to be doing something to move in a certain direction. You know, 20 years of stagnation is just, you know, not something we want to do. I truly do have very optimistic hopes for the next 20 years, though. I have done so much research and seen so many positive things in every aspect of you know, life, that is seeing more and more people approaching that. I actually saw somebody put out a comment saying, I think the next generation will be a barefoot generation, and they could be right. Let's hope. All right, well, I think I will close up for the week, and I will leave you with a few of our sponsors' words and talk to you next week. Thank you all for listening.
Get ready for the epic new documentary adventure ride of your life. Shades, the motion picture. A view into the globalist domain. An Embellus and Burmese film.
Nothing in this world works the way you think it does. Nothing. Governments do not operate the way you think they do. Banks do not do what you think they do. The police department is not here for what you think it is. Nothing in your world works the way you think it does.
We never let them know that your world government has been identified, and they thought they just cloned the world economy to bring in a worldwide police state, but instead it's going to bring them down.
You have to stand up. Speak up. Speak out.
Shade the motion picture. Order your copy of the DVD today at ShadeTheMotionPicture.com.
I am an autonomous government agent here to steal your livelihood.
Not so fast. I'm Sovereign Filing Solutions.
And I'm the Sovereign. We're teamed up.
To bring you...
the truth without censorship.
Are you tired of being fed multi-million-dollar media lies?
Are you ready for the real story?
Sovereign Filing Solutions has teamed up with the Sovereign newspaper to make sure you get it.
And not the BS this guy behind me wants to feed you.
Take the step, help make the change.
Oh, come on, that's not even fair. How are we supposed to rule indiscriminately if you know what's going on?
Did you see this? The EPA wants to regulate water in our ditches now. Our ditches are dry most of the time. There's hardly ever any water in them. That's enough.
What doesn't know? Agriculture's safe, that's what they say. that's enough. The EPA and the Corps, they will strive to justify, but we won't back down. Don't need more government anyway. That's enough. That's enough. No more power play. That's enough. That's enough. We won't back away. What can we do to get some rules? Tell the EPA. Don't need more government anyway.
EPA, it's time to ditch the rule. Ditchtherule.fb.org. This is a message from the Missouri Farm Bureau. Contact them at 573-893-1558.
Play on, play it. Play on, play it. Your drink drops reverse.
I like the way you grow it, no pesticides. I got to box it up.
Box it up, yeah.
I like the way you grow it, so locally. I got to box it up. I like the way you grow it, with no GMOs. I like the way you twerk it,
no diggity,
no doubt.
We've got squash and peas, calling it a pack for all your bees. Melons you wanna squeeze. Yes, please. Yes, please.
Hey, now that plant looks good.
Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo.
I want to grow it. I want to taste it.
Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo.
You're my kind of
don't
girl.
Don't think of me. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo.
Hey, yo, hey, yo.
Yeah.
Search YouTube for Freaks of the Garden, peacefulbelly.com. Support your local organic farmer.
Does the media ever deceive the public?
A white plane, a very big jet, was flying in an unusual pattern near the White House over Lafayette Park. Very slowly, it made one circle and then...
Are the media and their sources trustworthy?
New York State and New Jersey will get their first doses of the swine flu vaccine.
The H1N1 virus has made thousands of people across the country sick. Many have died. And some worry that it could grow into a full-blown pandemic.
Where does our mainstream media get their news? All this enjoyment is brought to you by All the Things Sweetened with NutraSweet.
There's a reason why we want to own these guns.
We're going to have to come together and take meaningful action to prevent more tragedies like this.
That was President Obama Friday suggesting it is now time to reopen the national debate on gun control.
The media tends to march in lockstep with the government.
Who is responsible when the media fabricates the news?
When the public is constantly fed messages that are potentially leading us into a war that may not be necessary, it's not fair to the American people, and it's not fair to journalism, because the truth isn't being told here. We found out that CNN International is actually making money from the Bahrain regime. They are a customer of Bahrain. Bahrain is paying CNN International to create content that shows Bahrain in a favorable light, to then air that content on CNN International.
Join us online at williamlewisfilms.com. That's williamlewisfilms.com.
Yeah.
Yeah.